Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, welcome to the show. Before we get started, you got to do this. You got some homework right now. I urge you to go to our Patreon page at BobSuskaShow.com and sign up for our $10 per month level to get both the Shadow Docket bonus show and our Friday after party show with me and Kimberly Johnson. In other words, if you choose to support the show for $10 a month, you're going to get access to the super secret Shadow Docket shows every Tuesday and Thursday on the Patreon page, plus the exclusive Friday After Party podcast with me and Kimberly. So don't miss out. Go to BobSuskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSuskaShow. Choose the After Party and Shadow Docket level. Enter your information and you're all set. There's also an app for listening and an RSS feed if you're into those things. Thanks so much for supporting this podcast. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Bob. Bob, I have to get back to work.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, October 12, 2023, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 995 of the Biden-Harris administration, 389 days into the 24 presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram, the Bob Seska. That's my handle there. Twitter, Bob Seska underscore go. Spoutable Bob Seska. Patreon, BobSeskaShow.com. And those people right there, they're the goth ninjas.
Yeah.
It is Jody Hamilton. She's the executive producer of the Stephanie Miller Show. Patreon.com/Stephanie Miller Show. Also StephanieMiller.com and SexyLiberal.com. I think I got all of them in there. And David Ferguson. We call him T-Rex. His music project is Astral Summer. Patreon.com/Astral Summer. There it is. That's it. That's the Goth Ninjas. Hi, Goth Ninjas. Hello. Welcome.
Hey. Good morning.
Hi, we got tons of things to talk about, and I think the most important thing that we have to talk about right here at the top of the show is the fact that Tommy Tuberville fell down the stairs.
You didn't tell me that part. You just said we had to talk about him. Oh, bless his heart. Who pushed him?
Yeah, oh, he did. He just
no, he slipped.
He slipped on the little stairs that come down off of the airplane. So he was
God, why can I never remember her name? The senator from Minnesota, she replaced Al Franken. Her name is
Amy Klobuchar?
Klobuchar was out there with the fucking grease on that step, man. Just like sliding on there, being like, yeah, bitch, don't come through here. And bitches be tripping. Bitches be tripping. Yeah.
This is what it sounded like. There it goes, right down the stairs.
Where there's toffees flying everywhere.
Yeah, that's not really the sound. I made that up because there is no real good sound for Tommy Tuberville falling down the stairs. But we can imagine that it sounded kind of like this.
I look at him and I'm like, Tuberville is like popular. He's like a town. He's like the saddest, most awful town. Welcome to Tuberville.
Yeah.
Population one.
So his new
one
nickname.
Bitter old man who fell down the stairs. Yeah, anyway.
And it sounded like this.
It couldn't happen to a nicer bag of dicks, man.
I love the sound of the loose change falling out of his pockets in that sound. Yeah. I don't know, it makes me laugh. Like, I think everyone on Twitter has made the Tommy Tumbleville joke at one point. One point or another, yes. Very well done, Internet.
Tumbling along like a tumbling Tuberville.
There he goes.
Oh, was he? Tell me he was hurt.
What? Jeez, are you okay there? Do you need a lozenge?
Oh, this is the thing. This is what happens when you quit smoking. Your lungs give you back all the gunk.
Well, I was going to say, I really hope Tommy Tuberville broke his coccyx because...
Oh, God, has that ever happened to you?
I've never broken my coccyx. Have you broken your coccyx?
Oh, yes, I did. The first day of fourth grade.
Oh, no, you literally broke your coccyx.
Coccyx, yeah.
Well, I say coccyx, like Uncle Rico and Napoleon Dynamite.
And,
Grandma broke
my
coccyx, yeah.
It hurts so bad. No, I mean, God, my childhood has been just as unfortunate as my adulthood, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, there was a series of grave mishaps, and that was one of them where I was telling a story or something, and I was like waving my arms and walking backwards, and I backed right into somebody's bicycle, and it and I fell over hard onto the concrete.
Oh my God.
It wasn't like, it was fractured, like a hairline fracture. It was still in place, but it was really badly bruised, and oh my God.
Yeah.
Can't sit.
I can imagine.
You can't do anything.
No.
It is the worst pain. It's like you can't sit, you can't lie, you can't lie on your side, you can't stand, you can't walk. I mean, I actually like I had gone with my dad like to Kmart or something, and I had wandered like an aisle and a half away, and I just stopped, and I realized I couldn't go any further.
Because you're broken coccyx, right?
I was in so much pain, and I just was like, Dad? Dad? And this sweet lady coming by was like, she saw the look on my face and was like, it's okay, we'll find your dad. Are you all right? What's going on? And I was like, I broke my tailbone, because I didn't want to try to explain
that
it's coccyx. You know?
Coccyx. That's not really how you say it, is it? It's got to be coccyx. It's coccyx?
It's coccyx.
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 Okay.
It's coccyx.
This is the sound of David's coccyx breaking.
Oh, dude. It was the fucking worst.
I find great pleasure when someone like Tommy Tuberville falls down the goddamn stairs, breaks his coccyx. All the loose change.
He broke a rib.
Yeah, his keys flying out. Anyway, we have serious things to talk about today, too, other than Tommy Tuberville breaking his coccyx, allegedly. We got to talk
about... Is they released his medical condition? He didn't, like... I mean, he's not...
internally. I just don't care. Unless he's in the hospital, I don't care. Because he's
an
a-hole.
Shards of bone driven into his spleen or something.
So unfortunate. So sad. Okay, so Israel continues to be a goddamn mess of the highest order. Such a fucking horror show. Netanyahu and opposition leader Benny Gantz have agreed to form an emergency unity government and a war cabinet. This is something that would never happen in the United States right now, by the way. We could never have a unity government. It just never would work.
No, we'd have fucking like Hakeem Jeffries being like, okay, we need to form a war cabinet. And like Jim Jordan would be like, there's no war, fake news.
Exactly. That's exactly the way we'd go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, meantime, Israel is targeting Hamas's political leaders in Gaza as well as military ones as it seeks to crush the Palestinian group and launched a brutal attack on its civilians last weekend. Military spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Richard Hecht says Hamas's forces led the Saturday assault and the military's focus is to hit that group's command centers in Gaza. So it's important, I think, to draw the distinction, and of course this is being discussed all over the place right now, between Palestinians and these terrorist groups. Yep. We have to make sure we distinguish between those two things, because we're not talking about Palestinians here. What we're talking about are terrorist groups that in some way, in some awful, deluded way, feel as though they're representing the Palestinian people. And
Hamas has, like, this is the military, like, the militant wing of Hamas, but Hamas also is, like, one of the few organizations bringing medicine and, like, electricity and food to the people in the Gaza Strip who are the Palestinians who are there, who are basically living in a refugee camp, like a prison camp. And they don't have freedom of movement. They don't have bodily autonomy. You know, and Hamas is one of the only because the, you know, the Palestinian Authority, like, kind of dissolved. It's just, like, not there anymore. Like, it's not effective. They can't get the thing. And Hamas can get medicine and, you know, can keep a hospital open.
Well, yeah, also, but they also are chicken shits, and the head of Hamas lives in Qatar.
Right, and the Nazis made
I mean, I'm not saying they're great people.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying that, like, but, you know, they're one of, I mean, we have to talk about, like, what's actually happening to the people of Palestine and, like, why people are this angry. I mean, I don't know. I was thinking about it. I was writing in my journal this morning, and I was like, the bad guys here are everybody who's using violence to hurt anybody else. The good guys, the only good guys are whoever is trying to stop it. Because there's, I mean, Israel has committed atrocities in the West Bank. I mean, it's not in dispute. There have been horrible things that have happened. And
I can't bring myself to in any way say anything nice about Hamas right now. I just can't do it. It's like saying the Nazis made the trains run on time. And that's, God, I mean, okay, maybe they did, but does that counterbalance this, my God, this horror show that they inflicted on Israel over the weekend?
I'm saying this is why some Palestinians will be sympathetic to Hamas.
I see. Okay.
And it's what we should be doing. You know, we should be like, you know, you're never going to have terrorists if someone's like, you know, an American doctor saved my sister's life in the refugee camp, or like, because that's the thing is like, there are Palestinians who are favorable toward Hamas because it's like the Nazis were in Germany. It's the only game in town, one thing. But like, I mean, it's complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, what's
been happening, the brute savageness, the attacking civilians, and I don't even want to call this a war because a war is an army versus an army.
Yeah.
And this is an army or a militia versus civilians, and then an army attacking civilians trying to get to the militia.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's hideous.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and defend Israel attacking civilian areas like in Gaza City that we saw. No. I mean, that's not what I'm saying necessarily here. But as far as this conflict goes, this began with one of the most horrendous attacks that we've ever seen in modern times.
Yeah.
Against Israel, against civilians, against concert goers. It is so fucking nightmarish and horrendous for the Israeli people. I can't even begin to wrap my head around the horror show. I've been talking for the past few days about trying to relate what's going on there as, God, I hate to use this cliche, but as a teachable moment, as a learning moment for many of us who seem to embrace this ridiculous notion of having another civil war inside the United States or using political violence.
It never ends.
Yeah, yeah.
It just goes back and forth. Mm-hmm. It's not a solution.
Yeah.
It is the beginning of the dissolution of a country.
Yeah, yeah.
We managed to pull it back together the first time. I'm sorry, I'm stepping on your
shoulder. That's okay. That's okay. And I think this is an important discussion to have. Absolutely. This entire back and forth. And as you were saying, David, there is no exit strategy. There is no way. Once sectarian violence begins like this, it goes on and on and on.
Look at Iraq and Syria.
Yeah. I mean, do you think ever that we would get people who have now tied their political beliefs in Donald Trump and whatever that means, they've folded that into their religious beliefs. Do we honestly believe that they would willingly sit down at a negotiation table and at all compromise on those beliefs? No, because it's wound into their faith.
Then I want you to imagine what would happen if some MAGA freak decided to take me out and I was killed, like that abortion doctor, like in front of my house or whatever. My heavily armed, extremely cyber savvy, like dark web roaming twin. Mm-hmm. Is not going to let that guy get off, no matter what. Like, even if the person that kills me goes to prison, I mean, I shouldn't say this out loud because, God, if it ever happened, because my brother would make sure every single person that guy ever loved would be just destroyed.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of what this guy I met named Nabil, who was from Lebanon, and I was like 18, and I wasn't really super savvy about Middle East politics, and I was just asking him, like, how did it get this way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, no one's a terrorist until they murder your sister.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I know, I'm sorry. He said, no one's a fanatic until they murder your sister.
Right. Well, and that's, I think, the thing that we're not embracing well enough as far as a possibility here, which is that all they need to do is look at someone and see, well, that guy kind of looks Jewish or that woman looks woke. So kill them. So that's what I sincerely worry about, this casual relationship we have here with the notion of civil war. We just need to, and I know it's a small percentage, and I think as far as the prediction, at least, that there may be a civil war, that ranges in the 40 to 50% range. But the actual support for political violence is, at least as a percentage, minuscule, but all it takes is a few people. If you talk about, like, for example, 4.4% of voting Americans support the notion of using political violence, that actually kind of amounts to several million people inside the United States. So yeah, if that is actually a thing, if we could trust that statistic, which I think comes from the University of Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, it's not one of these polling outfits. It's an actual study where they're actually counting heads. And that is kind of a terrifying notion. And when I talk about making politics boring again, what I mean is people like that. That's what we don't need in this country. We need to somehow cut them off. When Hillary Clinton said they need to be deprogrammed to an extent, I think that's what she was talking about. She was exactly right. Yeah, I was just kind of talking about those kinds of people who will not relent, who will not compromise, who will not see the fact that they have been suckered by a professional con man, and then their mega churches have wound that into their religion. And that is, God, all kinds of nightmares can emerge from that. And hopefully we will sidestep all of that and cooler heads will prevail. But aiding the murkiness of what we're witnessing in the news right now, researchers have uncovered a propaganda network of 67 accounts on Twitter that are coordinating a campaign of posting false inflammatory content related to the Israel-Hamas war.
Yep.
So this is a whole separate dimension where, once again, the damage that Elon Musk is inflicting on the world is incalculable at this point. And, you know, again, we have to keep a clear eye on what's happening on social media across all platforms. I mean, we haven't even really talked about TikTok and so forth as far as disinformation goes, but there's plenty of it there too. So years ago, there would have been much more thorough reporting happening on Twitter, coordination of certain people reporting on the ground and so forth. That would have been a thing. Twitter would have been much more robust as far as its
NPR would have been on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they always have excellent reporting from the Middle East.
Right.
They're not on Twitter anymore.
So I have a few clips here of Tiny Trump. I swear to God, based on these clips alone, I'm feeling like I need to flush him down the toilet. I mean,
Is he defective?
Is he defective?
I think you left him in the car on a hot day, and his little brains are scrambled now.
It could be. I know that he was up to no good, and he was saying some pretty horrendous things. And so now I'm thinking, he's bitten me so often that I'm getting tired of it. So I think it's maybe time. Maybe it's time. What do you think, Tiny Trump? Down the toilet?
You can't let that happen to me.
I'm going to do it. Okay. So here's Tiny Trump talking about Hezbollah and how Hezbollah is very smart.
And they said, gee, I hope Hezbollah doesn't attack from the north because that's the most vulnerable spot. I said, wait a minute. You know, Hezbollah is very smart. They're all very smart. The press doesn't like when they say it. You know, I said that President Xi...
No, you know what? Human beings don't like when you say Hezbollah is very smart.
Yeah.
He thinks it's a boy band, you know?
Just people at large hate it when you call a terrorist group very smart. Yeah. Especially right now. I mean, that's especially.
And there are ways to say that if you have more than a 250 word vocabulary, you can call them cunning. You can call them, you know, like, what's that?
Cunning is great. Yeah.
Canny, you know, or like devious or tactical or just anything besides like they're your kid who just brought home an A on their math test.
That's right. And then he's doing this thing too where he, like, Donald Trump and I'm talking about the real Donald Trump, does this thing where he over-exaggerates the movement of his mouth as he's talking. Yeah. And then he stops doing that, and it becomes like a lazy talk, where he just runs out of energy in his mouth. He just goes, and he just can't.
That's how I feel like he does with the 11,780 votes. He just ran out of steam there. Yeah.
All right, let's get back to this clip where he's complimenting Hezbollah.
Very smart. The press doesn't like when they say him. You know, I said that President Xi of China, 1.4 billion people, he controls it with an iron fist. I said, he's a very smart man. They killed me the next day. I said he was smart. What am I going to say? But Hezbollah, they're very smart.
They're very smart. He just did it again. Hezbollah is very smart.
He's been in my pain pills. He jumped out of the cigar box while I was here and like rode home in my bag and has been like eating the pain, the good pain pills they gave me for my purple toe. Yeah.
Suddenly the lidocaine injections start to kick in on his mouth. It's like he just had dental work done. He's like, oh shit, I can't move my mouth.
He just forgets where he is.
Yeah, it's like those videos where there's kids just had their wisdom teeth removed and they're still under anesthesia a little bit.
Is this real life?
Yeah, right. Let's see.
But like, I think he's actually gotten bored with what he himself is saying by then.
Yeah, maybe he is.
Like, he loses enthusiasm for the whole concept, and he's just like, what am I
just so
about?
Bored with this.
Listen, like, you can hear the moment where his, like, brain actually loses contact with the runway.
Yeah, it's like when the wind completely falls out of the sails. There's just no more wind, and it's just the sails are hanging there flaccid, and he just can't move his mouth.
That's what they're very smart. And they have a national defense minister or somebody.
They have a national defense minister or somebody.
Somebody.
This guy wants to run our foreign policy again. Just thought I'd remind you.
Hey, I hope Hezbollah doesn't attack us from the north. So the following morning they attacked.
Yeah, that was a weird jump scare there. Listen.
I hope Hezbollah doesn't attack us from the north. So the following morning they attacked.
He's so
this is
smart.
All something he's parroting
from
somebody else. The details are all scrambled around. This is
of course.
Something he overheard in a meeting, and it's like went from like, you know, sterilization techniques for testing equipment to injecting bleach into your arms.
Yeah. I think his staff during this entire run, talk about Hezbollah and the clip I'm about to play here regarding Israel, I think they were all backstage going, where's the trapdoor button? How can we hit the trapdoor and get him out
abort,
of here?
Abort, 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 abort.
That's right. And so, God, if I were one of his staffers, I would run out and tackle him down. Say, stop, hang on a second. No, don't do that.
But all the kind of staffers he has now, they don't even know any better.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking bunch of Alina Habas back there that are just like, you know, they think Hezbollah is a, you know, perfume from Guerlain. Dorvin Goodman, you know, like,
well, at
Hezbollah.
Least, right. At least he could say Hezbollah. He was able to pronounce that. Couldn't pronounce Hamas.
No.
Completely fumbled Hamas. Again, this is
the
guy.
He wants to have that with a nice chips. You know, he wants to dip it in the hummus.
And a nice Chianti. At Yosemite Park.
Exactly.
I forgot about Yosemite. Okay, so here's Tiny Trump talking about hummus.
The hummus terrorist invasion. I mean, when you think about it.
That's it. That's all I'm going to
say. I see him like staring into a plate at a party going, the hummus.
The hummus.
Like he's picking up a piece of pita bread and looking at it like, I don't want to eat this.
The hummus.
Invasion into my party platter. It's unacceptable.
Does anyone have any naan bread here? I was dipping the hummus.
The hummus.
God damn it. God damn it. People are actually going, yeah, he should be president again. Like half of people are saying, yes, get him in there. We need Donald Trump to do this shit again.
30% of people.
Yes.
It just happened. Yeah.
And the the biggest news story of maybe the entire year so far is this involving Hamas, and he says...
The hummus.
The hummus, he said. He didn't even... It wasn't even the hummus. It wasn't even hummus.
It's just like when your granddad is asking you about that band you like, and he always puts a the in front of it, no matter what it
right,
is.
The Facebook, the Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
the cable. That's what we used to be.
You gonna put that up on the old social media there? Yeah, like
the Hamas. He's trying
What's
to say.
What's that band you like? The Devos? You know, like, yeah.
Well, I like The Who, so.
Jesus. Oh, I'm laughing to keep from screaming. That's where I am right now as I play this clip.
As you try not to scream, do remember that he did not win re-election. He's not our president right now.
I know.
This incredibly awful thing is happening, which I mean, in a parallel universe, there's a David and a Jody and a Bob that one of us might be dead by now. Like, because Trump won re-election and like I relapsed on black tar heroin or something and was just like dead. Sorry.
Is that
I've been a little dark lately.
It's a little dark.
Yeah, it is dark. But
The hummus.
Yeah. The thing that I'm screaming about is not necessarily Trump, but the fact that there are still so many people who think he should be president. And that's just mind-boggling to me. Continues to be. I know I should be over it by now. Yes, Bob, we're well past that. But I still can't stop thinking.
Right. These
people are out to lunch.
The hummus.
Jesus Christ, that's their guy. All right.
It's a cult. It's a cult. It's a cult. It's a cult. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it gets worse. Here's Donald Trump talking about, Tiny Trump, who I'm going to flush down the toilet, talking about how Israel needs to strengthen up. And we'll discuss as we go here.
But I'll never forget that Bibi Netanyahu let us down. That was a very terrible thing. I will say that.
Oh, yes. What we really need is Donald Trump criticizing Bibi Netanyahu right now.
But, I mean, there are legitimate reasons to criticize Netanyahu, but I can't wait to hear. It's
well,
like,
right now,
this is
going
to be about a piece of cake or something, isn't it?
Right
or
now,
a seat
is
at the opera.
Right, but now is a bad time. Now is not the time. I mean, he can wait a little bit. If he's got a little stupid Bibi Netanyahu story, save it, asshole. Just save it. All right? No, he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that ever because he's just grasping for whatever neurons are flashing in his worm-infested brain. That's just whatever happens. That's what he's blurting. So here we go.
So when I see sometimes the intelligence, you talk about the intelligence or you talk about some of the things that went wrong over the last week, they've got to straighten it out because they're fighting potentially a very big force. They're fighting potentially Iran.
So this, the great irony in this is that it may have been
Iran.
Yeah. Right. Well, it may have been that Donald Trump's fast and loose relationship with classified documents is what caused this attack to happen in the first place, or what allowed it to happen.
Another country's nuclear capabilities.
Right.
That other country was probably Israel.
Yeah, trying to ass kiss with the two Sergeys back in 2017. Maybe that had something to do with it. And then he's like, you know, they totally failed. They totally failed with their intelligence. They need to strengthen up. They got caught with their pants down. You know, that's what he's doing. He's like, he's setting them up and then criticizing them, knowing that he very well could have set it up. That this could have been a direct consequence of Donald
that
Trump
was me
himself.
Sipping my tea.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. Amazing the hubris here.
Yeah.
And when they have people saying the wrong things, everything they say is being digested by these people because they're vicious and they're smart. And boy, are they vicious, because nobody's ever seen the kind of sight that we've seen. Nobody's ever seen it. But they cannot play games. So we were disappointed by that, very disappointed. But we did the job ourselves, and it was absolute precision, magnificent, beautiful job. And then...
What? God.
I don't know what he's talking about here, but he's complimenting himself. That's what he's doing here. So he's turning this in. Right, right. Massive carnage on a scale we can't even begin to grasp. And he's like, I did such a great job. It was a beautiful, magnificent, it was the most magnificent air raid.
That was quite the hairpin turn. I mean, I'm a little like, I think my nose bled a little bit going from
Jesus.
Like the savagery of what we know happened on the fucking just full on like Game of Thrones zombie army shit that went down.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is what terrifies me. I worry that this is going to be everywhere on Earth in the next 50 years. That it's just going to turn into Hatfields and McCoys everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, MAGAs and wokes and, like, you know, fascists. And it's just – and that we're going to be, like, driven out of our homes, living in refugee camps. Like,
And, well, what do you think I've been screaming about for weeks now, which people are sick of hearing me say it over and over again, but that's a possibility. It's a very distinct possibility.
Oh, yeah. Well, I said that back when Iraq was burning in 2005, I was like, this is going to come back on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Karmically, we've got this coming now because, mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like that. You know, it wasn't an ideal situation having Saddam Hussein being the bolts on the pressure cooker over there, yeah. holding everything down. Mm-hmm. But we took him right on out with no forethought to what was going to happen afterwards. And the sectarian shit just got cranked up and it becomes back and forth, back and forth. You killed my imam. I'm going to kill your family.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like it just... And now they're like ramped up to ISIS levels of savagery.
Yeah.
I mean, like these latest attacks, just the little tiny bits I've heard that made me run away from the mm-hmm. TV.
And we all know what those things are.
In yeah. my ears. Yeah. Like, I just can't. What? But like when this was happening in the South, I mean, there were atrocities on the ground that I live on.
Yeah.
And we try to hide that, but like shitty things happen. But it was people who looked completely different than you in
yeah,
a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
But these people, they look like one big family. This is what just tears my heart apart.
Yeah.
That they are like, you know, like, I don't know. It's just, it's like how many people did this Hamas, you know.
You mean hummus?
Yeah. How many people that he killed looked like maybe his third grade math teacher
yeah.
or his cousin?
Right.
Or, I mean, you know, and it's just, I.
Those hostages in the field, you know, being.
That's TV was off.
Yeah, that looks like.
La, 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 la.
Well, no, I'm not going to go into details. I swear to God.
It looks like a disagreement at a family wedding or
yes,
something. Like,
exactly.
I mean, everybody looks like everybody else.
I'm making a conscious decision not to get into the details of the atrocities because I just can't go there. I can't bring myself to talk about those things.
That you guys were going to want to talk about that today. And
no,
I just
no, can't do it.
I've been
can't
having.
We all know.
Yeah.
We all know what it is. We all know what it is. And it's being perpetrated
by.
It's
indiscriminate.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not army versus army. I mean, at least in Ukraine. There's actual armies that are supposed to be allegedly fighting each other, but it's yeah. like when armies attack civilians or militias attack civilians, this is supposed to be against
the war crime.
Yeah.
It's a war crime. It's
an absolutely
atrocity.
A war crime.
It's against
yep.
the rules.
Yep, yep, yep. All right, well, here's the last 9 seconds of Tiny Trump talking about how Israel needs to strengthen up, and I think he actually says yeah. those words right here. Here we go.
Maybe tried to take credit for it. That didn't make me feel too good. But
this fucking madman.
It all comes back to his dick.
Yeah, well, it's like, yeah. oh, Bibi Netanyahu. Netanyahu tried to take credit for something I did. It didn't make me feel so good. It didn't feel good at all. Then he goes all the way there.
That's all right. So they got to strengthen themselves up.
They got to strengthen themselves up.
Yeah, they're getting what they deserve for not falling on their knees before me.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Tiny Trump, yep. right into the toilet. Right into the toilet.
You can't let that happen to me.
Tough shit. Little man. Okay, we got lots more to talk about here. I just want to mention real quick that the White House has pushed back against Donald Trump. White House Senior Communications Advisor Andrew Bates said statements like this, talking about complimenting Hezbollah, for example, statements like this are dangerous and unhinged. It's completely lost on us why any American would ever praise an Iran-backed terrorist organization as smart or have any objection to the United States warning terrorists not to attack Israel, especially now as Israel is fighting back against one of the worst acts of mass murder in the country's history. This is a time for all of us to stand shoulder to shoulder with Israel against unadulterated evil. That's what the president is doing as commander-in-chief, talking about Joe Biden. And then he added, why in God's name would any American do that, is how Andrew Bates put it. We want to talk.
Let's have a ceremonial flushing of Tiny Trump today. Just you have the sound effects, right?
Yes, I do. Maybe. let me see if I can.
Yeah.
After the break, folks, a ceremonial burial at sea for Tiny Trump. Let's go to the break.
Okay, here we go. We're going to flush Tiny Trump down the toilet, right?
You can't let that happen to me.
Sorry, there you go.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, you little shit.
Bye, asshole.
You can't let that happen to me.
There he goes, right down the drain. And you know what? God, that toilet needs to be fixed. I think.
Good riddance.
I need to adjust the ball cock. For some reason, it just kept running. You know, I'm going to have to go in there and fish him out of there. I feel bad suddenly.
If he, you know, invisible hand of the free market, if he's as tough as he says he is, he'll be able to worm his way out of there in no time. He's probably just stuck down there in the stop cock something, you know.
Oh, my God.
The hummus.
Yes. Okay.
He's hanging on by his little dentures.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We've got more show coming up right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
Been. I promise to come back, I will not forget. She says it's AT&T, how I make our place call. Said take sweet time, I'm sure there's no good news at all. You know that.
Oh, this is Marina Rocks, of course.
See you again.
A track called nice. Dumbing Down off of her brand new EP.
Time that I call.
Love it so much. Her guitar playing is just incredible. It's like modern day Lindsey Buckingham. Well, I guess Lindsey Buckingham's still around, so he's kind of the modern day Lindsey Buckingham.
Yeah.
But
there's certain flavors of songs in my head that I love, and this one's a stomper.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm trying to think of another good stomper.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes, the drum sound, the guitar sound, everything's so amazing. She's got an incredible voice. Link in the description, of course, to support Marina Rocks and this single, Dumbin' Down, that belongs in your record collection right now. Do it now. Okay, Tiny Trump, during the commercial break, Tiny Trump clawed his way back out of the toilet. So he's...
Oh, get the plunger. Hit him. Hit him.
Yeah, really?
Should I? Do we have one of those tennis racket things? Those electrified tennis rackets that you use for flies?
Oh.
Have you ever heard of those battery-powered fly swatters?
I wish.
I wish we had one of those, because I'm going to have to flush them back down the toilet again after this. Trump called for more political violence. I should say Tiny Trump called for more political violence. This was in an interview that took place on one of those
light a candle. Here.
I know. God.
Don't you have poutine, which you spray in the toilet before you flush him?
Yes, he did a whole thing like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption, just crawled through the pipes. It's covered in shit.
That's, I'm lighting the Abba prayer candle that we have.
He's not
here.
Covered in shit, Bob. He's covered in himself.
That's right. Football fields of...
I think so.
Here's Tiny Trump talking about supporting political violence. God damn it.
But I happen to think that the radical left is far worse and far more dangerous than the right. I think a lot of people on the right are so disgusted with what they're seeing with the woke and all of the other things, the mutilation.
The woke and the mutilation. They're just disgusted with the woke and the mutilation.
That's what they're... The trans people. That's what they're calling it now.
Okay.
Yes.
The woke and the mutilation.
They're calling on trans people, it's mutilation, but on, you know, women in Palm Beach, Florida, mm-hmm. it's just, you know, work.
Yeah.
Just getting my face fixed, you know.
Right.
It's very, very sad. And I don't know why that they're just not attacked. When you look at Portland, what they've done.
Why? I don't know why they're just not attacked, is what he said. And then now we're going to look at Portland, he says. We're going to look at Portland and how the entire city is destroyed.
When you look at Portland, what they've done, they've destroyed the city and they've killed a lot of people.
They destroyed the city and they've killed a lot of people, which none of that actually happened. You know what?
Is this something we just missed in the news and all the fire hose that, like, there's just a smoking crater where Portland, Oregon?
Nope.
He means Portland, Maine.
No, I just talked to Tara Dublin last week, and she was in Portland. She's fine. Everything's fine.
It's there. Yeah, still, like, bookstores and
still
coffee shops, and it's not like, you know, Teve or something.
Still populated with roll-offs. That's still there. Little people, big world people. Yeah.
When you look at what they did
interview.
In Seattle, where they took over a big percentage of the city, they took it over.
They took
the whole thing over. But
it's done.
Talking about it. Why is no one shooting the liberals? What? Because of the woke and the mutilations, is what he said. You know what? Back down the toilet with you, Tiny Trump. Bye bye. There he goes.
You can't let that happen.
Down he goes. I really got to get a plumber here because this is not.
And some air freshener, seriously.
Yeah, why is it gurgling so much?
I don't know.
I think there's just extra gas when you flush him.
It's the ball cock. That's what it is. It's the ball cock. All right. You know what? I almost forgot to mention this. You know who I had on my show yesterday? Oh my God, this is just a big deal.
The News and Review.
Yes. Doug and Emmy Joe were on my podcast yesterday. I'm not making that up. That actually, it really, really happened.
And
not only that, but Freddie the Frog was there too. They actually had Freddie the Frog. Standing right behind. I put the picture up on Patreon and on Twitter. Yeah. And on Facebook. It's on my Facebook page, too. Oh, and on my Instagram as well. Please, if you're going to look at any place, go to Patreon or Instagram. Never mind what I said about Facebook. But yeah.
Is it me or, like, Freddy the Frog's, like, one of his salient personality traits was to think, this will be fun, and plan something, and then when it comes time to do it, he gets all anxiety and freaked out. Is that?
Yes.
Because I feel like that's where I inherited that trait from.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, basically the archetypes were Charlie was the smart one, Freddy was the childish, dumb one, and because he's not so smart, that's how the lyric goes. And then Henrietta Hippo was sort of the neurotic, insecure, Southern Belle. That was her whole thing.
She had a parasol all the time, didn't she?
Yeah, and she had like a little like a handkerchief in her hand that she would wave around. Yeah. So
I loved that show.
I have known ladies that. Oh man, it's been a while since I've seen a lady do that with her. What is that piece called? That piece of fabric has a name.
It's like a napkin. Is it called a napkin?
Is it a kerchief and not a handkerchief?
A kerchief? Yeah, maybe it's that.
Hang on, I'm
you know what I'm doing?
Like a boucle or something, but it's something like that.
But David, I'm sensing the show is falling off the rails. Just like down the Henrietta Hippo rabbit hole. hippo hole, as the case may be.
Sorry, guys.
No, I'm kidding. But the thing is, before I had mentioned that it's an audio-only podcast, I guess the word didn't get out because there they were on my Zoom screen, ready to roll.
With Freddy!
Yes, with Freddy there. I mean, peeling back the curtain, they had a guy there dressed as Freddy the Frog. I hate to break anyone's illusion of the show, but...
Bob. Freddy,
not real. They're not real animals.
Bob.
Yeah.
What?
What?
I know. And I
can't accept that. I mean, that's just like your opinion, man.
I know.
Dude.
In fact, I got scolded by Doug yesterday because toward the end of the interview, I was like, okay, let's get down to brass tacks. Who's in the Freddy costume? And he's like, no, Bob, that's really Freddy standing behind us.
Yeah.
And I felt bad. I was like, oh, you know.
He just like took a big old shit all over somebody's dream yesterday.
I was like that time. It was like that time Donald Trump revealed to some kid that Santa Claus isn't real. I felt kind of like
what?
That.
Wait,
oh,
what?
I'm sorry. God damn it.
Did you say
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to spoil anything.
He said I was taking the show off the rails. Jesus.
Well, you know, okay, let's. Here we go. Donald Trump was lying. Donald Trump always lies.
Okay, because I'm very upset right now.
Boy, you really sounded like
a
little kid.
It is so early. We've hit the Christmas weepies and it's only October.
So anyway, so I felt really bad that they were on video and that Freddy the Frog throughout the entire
because you're a monster.
Because I am a monster. And right. And even though it was just the four of us, including Freddy, Freddy was still performing the whole time. Like every once in a while I would stop and go, yeah, boy.
Wow, for like an hour?
Yeah, Freddy's looking dizzy back there. I think he's overheated. And Freddy would like start fanning himself behind.
He was probably responding to the conversation with adorable gestures and things and like, oh my.
Yes,
like,
exactly. That, exactly. That's exactly
what
was
happening.
And you
had to go and break the fourth wall, Bob. They worked this out. They were so excited.
That wasn't necessarily, the problem was that
Joe, did you hear what's happening? What? Nothing's ever Bob's fault, is it?
No, of course not. I'm always right.
Let's get Kimberly. Let's just make the whole second half
of the
show.
Don't ask her now. Don't bring her into it. Then I'd be screwed. But anyway, because I don't do a video podcast, I felt so bad that Freddy the Frog was back there performing. So about halfway through the show, I was like, oh, look, there's a record button on the Zoom panel that I never use. Let's see what that does. And so I was able to record like the last half of our talk. So there was video. I was able to get screen grabs that I used to promote the episode. So it was okay that Freddie was there and I could actually use it. So all's well that ends well with my amazing talk. I say amazing only because...
I mean, seriously, it's like you just went like, so what do you look like under drag?
That's right.
It's like, you know, that's not the question for right now, Bob. It was a moment. It was they wanted you to be taken to a magical place where Freddy is real.
I know.
Like, friend who comes around on interview days.
I learned so many things, too. I learned also, and we have to get back to politics here, but I learned something new about the animal costumes, speaking of Freddy the Frog. So you want to listen to the interview for something very revealing about the origins of the animal suits on the show, because it actually kind of explains quite a bit when it comes to, like, whenever I mention New Zoo Review, invariably people in the comments always confuse it with a different series of shows that also were around
always.
In the
no,
70s.
They always are like Sid and Marty Krofft.
Oh, spoiler. Okay, never mind. Yes, Sid and Marty Krofft made the costumes for New Zoo Review. That was the breaking news on the show. Thank you, David.
Well, you just like hung it out there.
But I didn't want to. I was very clear that it was, okay, never mind. That's fine. You just ruined everything for everyone.
Okay, guys, we're having a married women and married couple spat.
No, we're not.
On the air. No, it's fine.
You said Santa wasn't real.
Hey, you know what we got to talk about?
It's family day here on the Bob Seska Show. We are melting down as a dysfunctional family that we are. I'm like, fine, Bob, fine. I'm just going to go smoke a bunch of cigarettes in the car, and then I'm going to go gamble some of your money away.
Right. So speaking of humans in animal suits, we got to talk about Cenk Uygur.
Where's the plane?
Cenk Uygur is running for president as a Democrat. He's about to announce.
What?
Yes.
What?
And the amazing irony of this is, first of all, he's not actually running for president. He's running as a stunt for clout. Because that's what Cenk does.
He is running to get a deal like Joe Rogan did with Spotify. That's what he wants.
Probably.
He wants to blow up. He wants to ride this election to blow up his profile enough as a contrarian that he can be making the Rogan money.
Maybe we should all do the same.
Yeah. But what I want to
know. What would your extreme position be?
Mine?
Yeah.
Oh, puppies for everybody.
No, see, everybody loves that. You have to do something that's completely like Glenn Greenwald.
Kill all the puppies.
Like Glenn Greenwald saying that RussiaGate is a hoax. There's the money right there.
Well, here it is. Every airline flight will be on time from now on.
Where's the plane?
Right. Thank you, Cenk.
Yeah, you Hamas guys can probably help you with that, Cenk.
Well, here's the great irony. We're going to get back to where's the plane here in case you're new to the show. But the great irony in all of this is that Cenk is a naturalized citizen. Thus, he is ineligible to run for president or to be president under Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution. So this is, sorry, Cenk.
Where's the plane?
Okay. In case you don't know, this is what Cenk does. This is Cenk.
They're just doing it for clout.
Right. That's well. That's
new ideas you are without. You lost your relevance. You want more audience. So you're just doing it for clout. Thank you.
Where's the plane?
So he was at an airport not too long ago. That was very well done, by the way. He was at an airport.
Totally spontaneous.
A few years ago, yeah. And his plane was late. So he turned that into an event where he made a gigantic asshole of himself.
Well, I'm sorry, but gate agents have literally no control.
Yes, right. And
exactly. Over anything. No,
a gate agent cannot summon a plane from the sky, like the priestess, like the Mothra girls from Godzilla versus Mothra, the two little Japanese sisters that would sing, Mothra, dead from the sky. And like, yeah, you
and
know.
Then they're like,
where's the plane?
Or the witches in Ahsoka. I mean, it's the same thing. It's like, dude.
Screaming at the
moth. I mean, we've all had a meltdown
yeah.
at an airport.
And David, here is Cenk at the airport freaking his shit.
Plane. Is there a plane? Is there a plane? Where's the plane? Where's the plane? Is there a plane? Where is it? Where's the plane?
Do you have
where's the plane?
Boss.
Where's the plane?
Boss. Yeah, you get the idea. I'm not going
to
play anymore.
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
No shit.
I'm sorry.
I mean, no gate agent is paid enough to deal, with that
shit.
This guy, I mean, he loves the stunts. He loves the stunts to draw attention to himself. Look at me, look at me, look at me.
But this is not the setting. Because, I mean,
this is not like a
historic injustice against a traditionally marginalized people.
Right.
Well, yeah,
this was but that's the crack up of it. This is where his revelation, I mean, talk about like a tempest and a tea, you know, on the tea concourse. Like,
well, and the thing is I used to work for somebody that was a flight attendant before I started working for her. And it's like, you know, first off, flight attendants are not waiters and waitresses. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No, they're extremely well-trained safety personnel.
Thank you. And
who can fucking like get you out of your seat and tie you into a life vest underwater, upside down, in the dark.
Yeah, and like, they get trained for that constantly. And they're constantly put under stress with their training because they're trained to do all sorts of things, and then we treat them like crap, and then the gate agents, God bless them, have to deal with people like Cenk. I mean, when Lonnie and I went to Hawaii last year, our plane had to turn around an hour and a half into the flight.
Oh, God.
Because the in the back of the plane, it was too hot, and in the front of the plane, it was too cold. And so people in the back were getting sick.
Was that McDLT Airlines?
Oh, but see, that seems to me like to be the perfect arrangement because someone on every row is always miserable. We just need to have a raffle.
Oh, well, that's what was happening. I mean, the flight attendants were coming. They were going up into first class to just cool off. And so we weren't quite far enough to fly all the way to Hawaii. So we had to turn around. And so we came back. And so we landed and then, okay, so our flight was supposed to leave at 3, and then it was pushed to 4, and then we were told to get to the gate at like 3:45 or whatever, and there was no gate agent.
Mm-hmm.
For like 20 minutes, we were so, all, so everybody's very calm.
So they're screaming.
Where's the plane?
He's just screaming
that. A little bit, and it was a new plane and a whole new flight crew, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I actually walked over to another gate very calmly, and I said, hi.
Yeah.
I'm on a flight that had to turn around and come back. We don't have any gate agents, mm-hmm. and so I'm just curious if you can help. And that's all I said. That's how you do that. You go, can you help us get some gate agents here? And finally, when the gate agents finally showed up, they got a round of applause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody there as stressed out as we were, but we were all going to Hawaii, so I guess we were all kind of calm.
Everybody there has a function.
Jody, did you wheel out the big guns? Did you say, don't you know who my mom is?
Jody would never ever do that, I bet.
No, never.
And no, don't you know who I think I am?
Right.
All right.
Where's the plane?
All right, we got to do this. We got to talk about Jack Smith and what he knows about Donald Trump's motivations. This is one of the big revelations from Jack Smith's office this past week and the latest filing. So while arguing against the motion by Trump's lawyers to delay the May 20th trial, Special Counsel Jack Smith's lawyers assured they're ready to go and that such a delay isn't necessary, unsurprisingly, according to the Post here. But they also said that they're ready to prove something significant that, to this point, has remained shrouded and the subject of such speculation, why Trump allegedly took and kept the documents. So this is something we've been talking about since the story first broke. Like, why would he
What's
have those documents?
What's the actual motivation?
Yes, exactly. What was his intention here? Because if anyone is still believing that this is because he's a tchotchkes guy, because he decided, oh, look, I'm going to save this for my collection because I love tchotchkes. I love things. I love to hoard things. I love trucks of all sizes. No, that's not why he took these documents. He didn't just accidentally leave them in a box with his ties and his socks. That's not what he
but
did.
See, I don't think he actually was able to curate them. Yeah. I think he needed Cash Patel because I don't think his grad. I think he had to have things like this is why you need to keep this.
Right, right.
And this is why I think this plan stretched over years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And that's why he had so many of them because, you know, something would come through and somebody more savvy than him that, you know, would be like, if you hang on to this after you're out of here, the Saudis would love this information about Israel's nuclear program or Iran or whatever, you know?
Yeah, well, the story continues here by saying this filing then added that, quote, what is in dispute is how that occurred, why it occurred, what Trump knew, and what Trump intended in retaining them. What Trump intended in retaining the documents. All issues that the government will prove at trial, primarily with unclassified evidence. I want to know what it is. I want to know why, and I want to know how they have proof of why. That would be fascinating, and it's got to be in the form of testimony. And not just one person, but a series of people testifying, oh, yeah, here's exactly why Donald Trump took those documents. Here's why he wanted them. And I think at a certain stage in the process, we're going to find out what he has done, the full extent of how he has leaked those documents, in addition to what he told that Australian diplomat at Mar-a-Lago because he was just bragging about it, which is a possibility I've entertained since the documents case started. It's like
isn't that cool? Yeah. Remember that document? You know, he's just like, got it right here in my hand. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I'm really fascinated to find out what this is going to be. So stay tuned. It's May is just around the corner, believe it or not. Okay, so we're going to take one last break. I can't believe we haven't taken another break yet, but we're going to take one last break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Jim Jordan, Steve Scalise, what's happening with the Speaker of the House situation, and a couple more things here before we wrap up our big Thursday show right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I do. recall. Those were the best times. Oh, still in the heat with the blue jean girl.
Nighttime, windows down, driving.
High school, baby, man. This is so high school.
The great Cersei Link and Christian Nesmith covering Journey right here, of course. This is Stone in Love.
Isn't it?
God, I love it.
Cheeky buggers.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, you can only get this album on compact disc.
That's what I love about them.
I'm afraid to say. Yeah, yeah. Physical media. I love that they're still clinging to that.
My friend Mark does that, too. I should hook him up with you. You'd like his stuff.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I just got in the mail, I got the brand new Afton Wolf album called The Harvest. Strongly recommend this. He actually sent me a compact disc. See, that's it. I'm banging against my microphone here. That's the sound of the new Afton Wolf
album. That is the sound of music hitting a microphone.
Yes, that's exactly right. So thank you for sending me that, Afton. Really, really appreciate that. I'm going to play some cuts off of that probably next week. So getting back into things here on the Thursday show, Jim Jordan is now sabotaging Steve Scalise, who won the closed-door nomination for Speaker.
Pretty much guarantees that he'll be Speaker because everything Jim Jordan does is a fucking, like, cardboard cutout. Like, you know, it's like when you order something on eBay and they just send you a picture of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's that guy. He's the Gary Oldman character in The Contender. Covered in a visible layer of slime with his E.T. rotting in the creek skin, right?
Another Ted, what is it? Why can't I think of his name? Ted Cruz.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's just like Ted Cruz.
A blobfish like Ted Cruz. A slime-covered blobfish like Ted Cruz. Thank you.
I know. We're all feeling it this week. But so in this closed-door nominating session of the House Republican Caucus, they nominated Steve Scalise. However, he only got 113 votes. And so taken to the floor, that's not quite enough, of course, to become Speaker.
I thought that they were supposed to secure the votes in the secret stuff, and then you go to the floor and you get the votes.
Exactly right. But the Republican caucus nominated Steve Scalise to be their guy to put up for Speaker.
Because nobody wants more Jim Jordan clown shows.
Exactly.
Even the crazy ones have seen how embarrassing it's been so far.
So I love this. As Stephanie Miller says, fight, fight, big bag of rats. Jim Jordan allies. Jim Jordan allies are trying to sabotage Steve Scalise by circulating FEC reports to members showing that he spent over $500,000 at DC Capitol Grill since 2011. DC Capitol Grill is a restaurant and a bar. And so this is the extent of Jim Jordan's compromise on Steve Scalise. Spent so much money.
It's a restaurant tab.
Yeah, exactly.
Over the course of how many years?
Since 2011. So that's a long time.
It's a fucking decade.
A lot of expensive meals.
That's a high-end place.
I mean, it is.
It's
like the place for members of Congress and staffers.
Basically, like saying, he got his hair cut in the Senate barbershop. I mean, that's what people do here.
It's possible he spent campaign funds, though, at DC Capitol Grill. So that's the FEC aspect of all of this. So, yes.
Well, did he cover up the rapes of any college wrestlers in the process, Jim Jordan?
Nah, I don't think...
Was that on his resume as well as yours?
Yeah, I know.
You know, he may have to end up being Speaker of the House just because of the whole Denny Hastert tradition.
Oh, yes, that's right, of course.
Of, like, looking like an animate intestinal polyp.
So me and Buzz are sort of butting heads on who's going to be the next Speaker of the House. I think it's going to be Steve Scalise, and Buzz still thinks it's going to be Jim Jordan. So
I think it's going to be Hakeem Jeffries.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I have this irrational spark of hope that there'll be like five Republican Congress people coming down in a bus from a ski resort in Colorado on a narrow, slippery road, and then be in the majority.
Yeah. Well, Stephanie Miller nearly made me spit my coffee out the other morning when she compared Kevin McCarthy to, and I'm sure you remember this, Jody, she compared Kevin McCarthy to an ice cream cone that had been dropped on the floor and now has hair and an old
penny
stuck to it. It's like they're going to get to a point where they're going to go back to that disgusting ice cream cone on the floor. And they're going to pick the penny out and pick the hairs off of it and say, okay, let's go with Kevin McCarthy again because we can't do this without pantsing ourselves relentlessly. So maybe that's
the end game. I saw a column somewhere, and I need to go find it, and it just said, Matt Gaetz has not thought this through.
Mm-hmm. No shit.
Yeah. Well, it's because nothing is thought through. The whole idea is disruption. The whole idea is to just make government look entirely incompetent. So job well done, Matt.
Well, I mean, I've always questioned anybody that wants to elect somebody that says government needs to go away, wants to work in the government. It's like hiring an electrician that doesn't believe in electricity.
Right.
They're basically
Bingo.
Announcing that they're going to make as much money for themselves as they possibly can while they're in office and destroy the office and its credibility as much as they can and get the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then become a lobbyist in the same corrupt system.
Well, a couple last things here before we wrap up. First of all, we're going to move along to your home state, David, Georgia, where Georgia Republicans are still trying to save Trump from Fannie Willis by taking extraordinary measures. In this case, Georgia Senate Republicans have filed a formal complaint to punish Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis after she sought charges against Donald Trump under a new law aimed at sanctioning rogue prosecutors.
It will never fly.
I don't think it will either. I think Brian Kemp is
Brian,
still. Yeah.
Brian's not in on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian's like, you know, he's like, I may not like her.
Yeah, right.
But she's a fine legislator, and I believe that, you know, she's pretty smart.
What does Elon Musk think of Fannie Willis? Elon?
Oh, well, if you look at, would it be racist for me to call her a beep?
And while we're here, what does Dr. Fauci think of Fannie Willis? Dr. Fauci, you there?
Oh, I think that, you know, Fannie's great. And, you know, she took the vaccine, like I said, and I think she's fantastic.
And she wants a bouncy sea.
Oh my God!
Fannie is in full. I mean, she is in full North Korean military march right now. I mean, it's like she's like, bring it!
Right,
I will hang the heads of your Confederates on steel spikes outside of my castle. Like, I am prepared to fight this anywhere you want.
Yep.
Right here in October or next year in February, but we will be fighting this, and I will be bringing all of you in. I'm not afraid of you. We'll find a way. We'll fit you in boxes if we have to. Like, we will shrink you down to tiny Trump size if we have to try you all at once and just have you in a box of Raisinets. You know, like,
you
she's just not playing. Yeah. She's like, this is a fucking tank. It is moving forward. If you have problems, you may file them with the judge, and we will address them if we have time.
Oh, my God.
And that's what I love about her. Yeah, this is like,
she's got no fucks left. That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, I think that she and Jack Smith got on the phone, and Jack's like, mine's going to be like a surgical, like a laser scalpel.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we're going to get him on very specific moments in this, you know, splatter of criminal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, I'm going to get that splatter. She's like, we're going to clean that right on up. And she's got everybody coming in, you know? So and more people all the time. And more people are, like, turning state's witness. Because I don't think she's going to end up with 19 defendants. I think she's going to end up with 5 or 6 defendants. And
I agree.
13 or 14 cooperating witnesses.
All right.
Because the thing is, like, moving, like, the Eye of Mordor. I mean, it's inexorable. It is the Death Star. It is, like, Fannie Willis has built a case.
Yeah, and guess who she's got to provide evidence in the Ken Cheesebro trial? Alex Jones is going to provide evidence to the jury.
No time for him.
Cheesebro's involvement in the conspiracy, including without limitation, as it relates to his participation in the march on the Capitol on January 6, 2021. This is a big fucking deal. In fact, this is what
I don't see that judge being the kind of person who trucks much with InfoWars either, because I look at Scott, what's his name? The judge in that case. Because I look at him, I just see Scott, the Sunday school teacher.
Yeah.
Like, his family is at church every fucking Sunday in different outfits than last week, possibly seasonably appropriate. Like, he seems like that. He's that kind of Republican. He has one gun, a double-barrel shotgun that he inherited from his grandfather. It's kept in a gun locker, you know, like, but he is, like, that wing of the, like, church-going, country club-ing, law school-ing Republican Party is not very well for your your crazy Texas infomercial scammer screamers.
Well, so you know,
it's going to be an interesting showdown.
Right. And you know, one of the things that's going to be introduced in this trial of Ken Cheesebro is Alex Jones saying this. Remember, I've been playing this since 2021. This is Alex Jones right after the insurrection took place.
Then the White House told me 3 days before, we're going to have you lead the march. The Secret Service, before Trump finishes, 30 minutes before or so, will lead you to a point, take you out of the front row, and lead you to the place where they want you to start the march, and Trump will tell people, go, and I'm going to meet you at the Capitol.
See, there it is. There it is. This is Alex Jones saying to his listeners that he coordinated with the White House to lead the throng of militias and suckers and weirdos down to the Capitol building so they could invade and occupy Congress.
In a short pair of white cowboy boots, twirling a baton.
You're getting good at that. That was actually outstanding. Very well
done.
You
have to play me the remix as our ending music then. Because I love it so much. The frogs gay. Turn the freaking frogs.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay. Do you understand that? Turn the freaking frogs gay. Serious crap. Frogs, freaking frogs. It's not funny. I'm going to say it real slow for you. Frogs.
I feel like I should be doing like step aerobics. Like great fun.
Blame your headache. Blame your headache. Blame your headache on David. He requested this.
Won't you fight for your life?
How does it feel?
Yes, that's it.
Treat me like you do. When you lay your hands upon me. Tell me who you are. Yeah, totally.
Oh,
here's something
on,
to watch our Patreon page for that's coming up. We have discovered that that song by Bjork that's, oh God, what is it called? Hyper Ballad, where she's on the mountain throwing stuff down. You know, we live on a mountain right at the top. It's the same song as Landslide by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh my God.
Same chords. And you go, right at the top. And I saw my reflection in the snow.
Yeah.
We're gonna do that little TikTok of this to show you guys.
See, now that's you're gonna bring a lot of trouble on yourself. You better be ready to testify at the lawsuit trial.
Well, why? Yeah,
that's gonna happen. Yeah.
It's fair use. It's like, look, these two songs can be smashed together to make something delightful and new.
True.
That's fair use.
Okay, gotcha. Well, no, what I'm saying is that Fleetwood Mac is going to sue Bjork. That's what I'm saying. And then you're going to be called to testify because you're breaking that news. And that's,
well,
I mean,
hey,
that's been known to happen.
Raise my profile.
Yeah.
I would love to hang out with either of those champs, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
As long as Bjork is in that swan dress
that's right.
thing.
Poor Bjork.
I love that.
Leave Bjork alone. Leave her alone.
Leave Bjork alone.
Well, you know what she does?
She's not here performing for you.
When she gets sick of everybody, she just like drives off over the fucking glaciers in a giant like snow cat thing that she has.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
like her kid and a tent and some spears for like hunting seals and just disappears for 2 weeks. Yeah, she's a badass.
Well, okay, we've got the Shadow Docket coming up next on our Patreon page. If you want to keep listening to the show, you have to stop what you're doing. You have to go to patreon.com/BobSeskaShow on your favorite web browser. And then you find the category.
What's that?
It's a web browser. It's on a screen. It's on your computer screen, and it allows you to browse the web is what it does. And so you go there. Once you're at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, click on the box that says Shadow Docket. And it's $5 a month. And if you click that button and sign up for $5 a month, you get the Shadow Docket shows twice a week. There's two of them, one on Tuesday, one on Thursday. And then you also get to participate in the comments. You get to post blog entries in the members area. You get access to the Patreon app and all kinds of fun stuff, right? And then if you want to, you can go for more. $10 a month will get you the after party too, plus the Shadow Docket shows. Just saying, go there right now. Support the show, why don't you? We're going to keep talking on the Shadow Docket program. I just called it a program again. We'll see you over there. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Where's the plane?
Across California, school food professionals are using their skills to develop recipes that incorporate fresher ingredients and more scratch cooking. Learn how they're cooking up change at schoolfoodpros.org. Grant provided by California Community College's Chancellor's Office.